Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Neutral Game, a fighting game podcast. I'm your comrade, Real Sylvie the Bear, aka Meodrag, and with me is Colin, aka 6264.
Nice to meet you, folks.
And nice to meet you, Colin. This is me projecting, folks.
All right, yeah, I was going to say, like, oh boy, have I not known the real Mio until just now?
Yeah, so just to do a little introduction, this is a new podcast we're trying to do. It's focused on fighting games, and we are trying to present it in a more approachable way rather than talking about frames and high-level play and tournaments and all those things. We kind of want to talk about the more, I'm not going to say casual, but the more, the more casual approach to fighting games.
I come from a place, a mental place, where fighting games are fueled more by passion than by any level of skill, like any level of skill. And I think, like, there's a tendency within the fighting game community to kind of go up. I'm not going to... How is a way I can phrase this without being super rude about it? There's a tendency to sort of go into itself with, like, getting more and more complicated and technical. And, yeah, the more average player gets left behind. And we don't want to do that.
Funny you should say that, because today I play Street Fighter with some colleagues, and we talked about fighting game tournament streams, and he played a very nice doll sim, and he said, "Oh man, I tried watching a tournament, but I couldn't understand anything the casters were saying. They were just talking about frames, safe, unsafe. I didn't know what was going on."
Interesting. I haven't been watching that many. Like, I watch. Honestly, I actually never know any of the commentary anymore, because most of the fighting stuff I watch ends up being Japanese Blaze Blue stuff, and my Japanese is not good enough for that, so
yeah,
I haven't watched English fighting game commentary in a while.
Yeah, I only watch it really on Evo when I can. Mm-hmm. But I don't follow these not smaller, but these like non-spectacle tournaments like Frosty Fostings and SoCal Casual, SoCal whatever.
Regionals?
Yeah, regionals. That was what I was looking for. I don't follow
those.
I used
to watch a lot of SCR, but it's been a while.
Yeah. But maybe we should just say what kind of fighting game people we are.
Sure.
So I'll start. Hello. I'm an anime game player, I guess. That's what people call me. Actually, I basically play any fighting game. Mostly I play Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear. I have the longest history with Guilty Gear. But I'm not really racist against specific game titles. I've played Tekken a bit. I've played Dead or Alive. I've even trying to play Street Fighter V now. My PS3 is actually one big fighting game console where I have around 20 fighting games probably.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm Colin, and basically my... I guess I'm probably an anime fighter as well. I used to have a lot of passion for the older days of Capcom, and I guess post Third Strike. Third Strike was the last game they made that I really, really had a lot of fondness for, and after that, their more recent direction has not really done it for me. So I'm primarily into, Arxis fighting games. I guess specifically Blaze Blue and the Persona ones, because I don't really like Guilty Gear very much. And I do like SNK stuff quite a bit. I like King of Fighters. I like, the older stuff. I liked Goro, Mark of the Wolves.
Goro is the best one, always.
Goro is pretty fantastic. I used to be quite the little brat about it, and these days I think I'm less of one, but I am not a big fan of 3D fighters.
I used to think I was the worst person to play 3D fighters, because my exposure to 3D fighters was either single-player, random PS1 game, aka Bloody Roar or Battle Arena Toshinden, so stuff that other people didn't play, I just played versus CPU. But the stuff that I did play with other people, like Tekken or Soul Calibur, I would get destroyed. So I just figured, oh, I am not the type of person who knows how to play 3D games, I'll just stick to 2D games. And then a few years ago, I tried Dead or Alive 5, and then I realized, oh no, it's actually just Namco fighters that I don't understand.
Yeah, Namco is particularly, I mean, if people like Tekken out there, obviously, you chase your bliss, right? I'm not gonna knock you for that. But for my money, I feel like Namco is just bad at making fighting games, honestly. And I don't know, maybe they'll figure it out, or maybe I'm full of shit because I think they did a really good job on Street Fighter 4, or not Street Fighter 4, Super Smash Brothers 4. But what? I don't know. It's
I think you meant Pokken, not Smash Brothers 4.
No, they worked on Smash Brothers. It was outsourced.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was made in collaboration with the team at HAL, with Masahiro Sakurai overlooking it all. Yeah, no, the Namco team, unless I'm misremembering, I'm pretty sure the Namco team did a lot of work on Smash Brothers 4.
Okay.
And I think that game is pretty fantastic. Which, I guess actually that is maybe not 3D in movement, but 3D in graphics and perspective, and I think Smash is a great fighting game series. With some games that were maybe less great. Versus humans, I only ever played Tekken and Soul Calibur, and so, like, the ones that I might respect, the 3D fighting games that might actually be good, I've never played versus humans. I haven't played Virtual Fighter against anyone but the computer, or Dead or Alive, or, you know, games like that.
Virtual Fighter is very good.
That's what I hear.
It's like a better version of Dead or Alive. A slightly better version. Well, actually, if you look at the game mechanics slightly, if you look at the aesthetics, it's very better.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Yakuza series, and I understand that the Virtual Fighter is going to be in the next one. So
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. Anyway, now that we have completely scared away all people who don't care about our opinions, we can actually move to the topic we want for the first episode. So, yeah. So for those still listening, we are actually gonna talk in each episode about something specific about fighting games, and I think a good starting point for this one is to talk about how to get into fighting games, not just as a genre, but how to get into specific new games. If you're familiar with, you know, Tekken, and then somebody comes around and says, "Oh, I have this new indie game called Mortal Kombat. You want to try it?" And you're like, "Oh, how do I play this?" So, those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we'll sort of go through it. We'll talk about what it's like to get into the genre in general, and then sort of a good mindset to do it. Like, we're not, you know, it's not going to be hot tips and tricks, right? We're not trying to metagame this, but it's like, you know, there are ways to do this that will set you up for having a good time, and there are ways to do this that won't. And then from there, we'll talk about trying to learn new games, and finding other people to play with, or how to play with people who aren't at your level. And then we'll talk about helping your friends get into it.
Yeah. So it's been a while since I first started getting into fighting games, but maybe you want to take away this, Colin. How did you get into fighting games?
The way I got into fighting games was terrible. Most things that I am really into, my way of getting into them was really unhealthy, and I wouldn't recommend to anyone. My way of getting into fighting games was that I didn't enjoy or understand them at all. And then I bought a copy of Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4, when it came out. And I decided to get, there was a trophy in that game called C to Shining C, which was for achieving C rank and ranked matches with every character. And I decided I was going to get that trophy. And that's how I got into fighting games.
Yeah.
Kind of miserable.
That sounds fairly miserable. How I got into fighting games was I basically played a lot of Mortal Kombat 3 as a kid, because in my hometown there was this rivalry between various elementary schools, and the rivalry was, of course, settled in arcades where people played Mortal Kombat. So I got into that via my brother. But I didn't really play fighting games seriously until Guilty Gear XX, where I thought I was hot shit, but I played my entire life versus a few friends and the CPU. And then I visited some people I met online who lived in some small town, and like the two of them played Guilty Gear every day. And it turns out they were like fucking monsters at the game. They were really good. And then I realized, oh, I'm not actually hot shit. Maybe I should sit down and actually relearn this game completely from scratch. And that's how I kind of changed my approach. But, mm-hmm. You know, that's when, you know, I was a kid and I had enough of free time. These days, I'd say, recently, actually, this month, I decided to get into Street Fighter V. And I am not a Street Fighter fan. I never liked 2, or I didn't really play 3. I didn't like 4 or any iteration of 4. But I got 5 due to peer pressure because everybody at work plays it, so I just decided to get it. And it does feel like relearning the genre a bit because they have a lot of Street Fighter-specific things that I don't see in other fighting games, like how they handle links and how they handle normals, things like that. So what I did, my first kind of approach to Street Fighter was I'll go through every single character, like play it, like first I'll go through like training mode, but not to like drill myself, just to see what inputs they have. And then after I see, okay, is this hard to execute? Is this easy to execute? Or do the moves feel fun? Then I narrow it down. And then I also go, okay, which of these characters actually feels like a decent, I'm not going to say person, but just a decent character, because usually fighting game characters have very horrible personalities. But generally, if you're going to spend time with a fighting game, you might as well be looking at someone you enjoy looking at for hours on end. So I picked Laura, and I got my ass handed to me completely. And I couldn't understand why. That was my biggest hurdle. So what I did then is I switched back to Ryu, who I think is boring as hell, but he is a very basic character. And then when, even though I got my ass kicked in more than when I played Laura, it took me far less to understand why I was losing, because I understood my tools much better. I understood, like, you know, how the fireball works, how my Shoryuken works, what my range is, and it was a bit more clearer in terms of why I'm getting hit or why my move isn't going through. And then after that, it was just, you know, when I don't understand, even despite the visual feedback of the game, it's just going to the person you played against and asking them, okay, why didn't this work? You know, I tried to do this and I don't understand. And then they tell you, oh, that's actually never safe if you do it that way. Mm-hmm. So this might sound all intimidating to people. So this is like me, someone who can actually like execute most moves reliably. If you're like an absolute beginner and never even touched a fighting game ever in your life, I'd say the first thing would be play versus the CPU. Like, first find a character you enjoy looking at and enjoy inputting the moves at, even if you fail most of them. If you are comfortable doing, you know, a quarter circle forward and then a punch or whatever button, if you think that's something within your ability, then just play with the CPU on lower difficulty, mess around with the game a bit, do flashy stuff until you're kind of proficient with inputting things, and then play with your friend. Go on, actually. You can interrupt.
And just as a brief little interjection, we talked about how we're trying to keep this easier and sort of short on jargon for new people, and we're going to like slip it in sort of unconsciously now and then, just because we're so used to it, but we'll try and fix it when we do. So Mio back there said that, you know, that move wasn't safe. And in fighting game terms, what that means is if you do an attack and your enemy blocks it, if a move is safe, that means that they can't hit you back afterwards, that they will be blocking for long enough that you can recover and you know, do something else. If a move is unsafe, that means that after they block it, you are sort of left sort of reeling long enough that they can get a free hit in.
Yeah, exactly. Good introduction. That is one approach. I'd say, like, the most important thing is just finding a character you find appealing. And, of course, finding a game you find appealing. I've had issues where I played games and I didn't like any single character, and that was enough for me to not play that game. It's just that if you're going to spend a lot of time with a certain character, you know, it's not like Overwatch where you switch characters constantly and, you know, that's the point of the game. This is, you're likely going to be stuck with this one character until you get everything right. Mm-hmm. But one other way to do it is if you have a friend who is also a complete beginner, that is probably the best way best way to kind of improve the fighting games. I'd say that the ideal situation is you have a friend who has the same skill level as you and who has the same enthusiasm to improve as you, because then you'll be constantly overtaking each other. And to kind of roll back into my example of the two friends I met online, who I visited, and they like showed me how they actually played Guilty Gear. They didn't play online. They didn't like Guilty Gear didn't have, you know, online back then. That was the PC version, or rather the PS2 version. They didn't have online play with that. They didn't have any pro players. It was basically a super small town. It's just that they were both very enthusiastic about the game, and they constantly kept getting better than the other one, and constantly overtaking each other, and then eventually just reached a level where they were really objectively good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the ideal situations you want.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, if you look at even the rosters of most fighting games, the, like, the two most central characters, you take Ryu and Ken, you take Kyo from KOF and Iori, you take, I don't know, what's another good example? My brain is kind of failing me, but...
Soul and Kai Kisuke.
Yes, or Jin and Ragna in Blaze Blue. You look at these, like, two central characters, and they are, like... intense rivals for each other, and that's not just because it's a good trope, it's also because it's sort of representative of one of the most basic fuels of the fighting game community, is the best way for you to have fun and get better is have someone close to your level who you have, like, a friendly rivalry with.
Yeah, yeah, I say exactly that. I don't think I have any other particular beginner tips. It sounds very basic, but I think it's just a lot of people... What I see the general flow of new fighting game is, new fighting game announced, someone says, oh man, this is a new fighting game, when it comes out, I'm going to start right in, have a head start with people, get good at it, and this is going to be my fighting game. And then the fighting game comes out, and then you play it a bit, and then you go online, and you get destroyed, and then you drop it, and then later, a new season or a new edition is announced, and you're like, oh, okay, I'll just wait for that edition and then come back there and start playing back then. You know, there will be fresh, and maybe I'll have a new opportunity. Then you go there, and then you still get your ass handed to you online because all the people who did stay kept getting better. And the problem you get with games that you probably won't get this with Street Fighter, but you do get it with other more niche fighting games. When you go online, it's a much lower population, and the longer the game goes on, the population gets lower, and the more people, the more skilled are the people that are, like, stay there. Whereas in Street Fighter, you know, I can go right now, months after the game has been released, I can go in unranked and get matched up with someone on my skill level. That's not going to happen in something like Blaze Blue or Guilty Gear, because you'll end up usually with people... who have just played the game for so long, and you'll feel like you'd have no idea what's going on. While you're losing, you'll just get comboed to death. Which is why, again, I emphasize it's very healthy to have someone you can play the game with, either offline or someone online, reliable, and just, like, chat with them as you play. It's good to have that kind of, like, sparring partner.
Yeah, and I think, like, we talked about... like trying to find a game that really clicks with you, that you enjoy, and I think, like, people find that there's pressure to play a game that, you know, a lot of other people they know are playing, and if that works out for you, that's good, but you really only need that one good rivalry. Like, all my favorite fighting games that I've ended up playing, I've actually only had one other person I knew who was consistently playing it, but it was a person who I had good matches against. If you don't have anyone to play against, then that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
But, if you've just got that one good rivalry, then that's okay. And the one other beginner tip I would have that I really feel like I can't stress enough is it's going to be really tempting to button mash. And that's, like, I don't have a moral objection to button mashing. If you want to button mash, that is fine. The problem is that you're not going to get better and you're not going to have as much fun because you're playing the lottery, you're not playing the game.
Yeah.
When you do things intentionally, you get the satisfaction of having been like, oh, that was so smart of me. Or when you get punished for it, being like, ah, damn, he outplayed me. And it's just a different thing. you will probably, when you first switch to playing with intentionality, you will probably do worse than you did when button mashing, and it will be hard, and it will be really tempting for you to switch back to just mashing it out, and I really would encourage you not to. You're going to have a so much better time in the long run if you just stick it out and learn to do what you're doing on purpose.
Like, I can say that from my experience, I had the fortune of playing two particular fighting games, Dead or Alive and Garou, with two different people who were not really into fighting games. We just happened to, you know, stumble across those games at the same time and decided to play them with each other. And at the start, you know, it was mashing, but as they kind of learned, okay, maybe I need to do this with intent, they started being more engaged in the match. They started, you could visibly see that they were having more fun, because the same way you don't know why you lose when you mash, you also don't know why you win. It's just the windscreen tells you win, but you don't know how you've earned that victory. Whereas this kind of constant strive to become a tad better than you were yesterday, I think that's one of the appeals with fighting games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. It's one of the reasons that for all my problems with Street Fighter, I really am so glad that we have Ryu as a character, because he's sort of the purest distillation of that fighting game spirit of the looking for challenges, enjoying a good fight, and constantly striving to be better than you were yesterday.
Yeah, and just to say, like, oh, well, I won the match because that's how it's fun to me. That's okay. I'd argue if the only way you'll have fun with a fighting game is if you just mash to hell, I feel like you might not even generally have that much fun with fighting games in general, even if you play them properly, because you know how you have those casual games like match three games, or even let's say like Tetris or whatever, you know, those are very pick up and play type of games, very simple to get. But eventually when you had, you know, your aunt who has played Tetris on the Game Boy for the past 7 years, and then she can play it on top speed at top difficulty with zero issue, even though it's a simple game and she's not really into games, it's just a natural progression. She just got better and better because she played it so long and wanted it to stay interesting. So that usually happens naturally with most games, including fighting games. And if it doesn't, I'd say that the game or maybe the genre didn't really grab you that much.
Mm-hmm. And that is, like, for the record, that's fine. It's maybe a weird thing to say on this podcast about fighting games. If you give fighting games a real shot and you button mash and then you try playing intentionally and it's just not, like, it doesn't click with you, I think, you know, it's a genre that will test your patience, especially starting out. And I think it's worth pushing through to see what the genre has to offer. But if it doesn't click with you, it just doesn't.
Yeah, and that's...
And that's okay.
That's okay. Like, that's really okay. One of the things... We can kind of move a bit forward with this, I'd say. One of the things that is also really important is to accept that you're going to lose a lot. I usually joke about it, but I'm kind of serious when I say I don't expect to start winning in a new fighting game until I've lost 100 times.
Yeah. I mean, so there are a lot of factors to this, right? Like, one of them is just sort of, especially if you're playing online, the simple fact that the people there have probably played more than you. They just probably have. They probably know the game better. A lot of them will have experience from other fighting games, and that skill does translate between fighting games. Not, like, 100%, but a fair bit. Which is also one of the things you can look forward to, is once you get good at one game, you go into the next game, you have a bit of a head start. So there's that element of it. There's the element where, like, maybe you're going to take a while to figure out what character works for you. I've spent a long time in some fighting games losing, not because I felt like I was necessarily worse than the other person, but because they'd figured out who they wanted to play and I hadn't figured it out yet. There's a lot of feeling things out at the start of a fighting game and your time with it. And you kind of need to embrace that process or you're going to go crazy.
Yeah. And sometimes you just have to accept that maybe you haven't found your character, like you said. Just give an example of myself. In Guilty Gear XX, I played Robokai. That was my main character. And because XR, the latest one, doesn't have a Robokai yet, I still play the game, but I'm relegated to picking alternate characters that don't click with me as much. And because of that, my enthusiasm for Guilty Gear is much lower than it was for the previous version, simply because, you know, none of these characters have clicked yet. Maybe one of the future ones that doesn't have to be Robokai will, but I haven't found the character yet that makes me go, oh yeah, I really want to get into this. Whereas in Blaze Blue, I kind of lucked out. Like, the original Blaze Blue had Hakumen, which is a character I picked, and that character carried me until Central Fiction, which just released. And only now, after I think 7 years, probably 7 years since the game has been out, after seven mm-hmm. years, I've found a new character that actually works for me. So I'm very picky about these things, and sometimes it just happens and you have to deal with it. Like, Street Fighter V right now, I'm not really a fan of Ryu. Like, I appreciate that he's basic, but he is literally right now the character I'm playing because I dislike him the least, because I don't like Street Fighter's cast.
And I would also warn people against a sunk cost fallacy thinking to this. And I can give an example from my own life. I'm not playing so much Street Fighter V these days, but back when I was, I played a bunch of Nash, because I really liked his teleport mix-ups, and I liked his zoning, and I liked his pressure. But he doesn't have a reversal, which in fighting game terms means he doesn't have basically a get-off-me move. He doesn't have a move that he can throw out when someone is in his face and he just wants them to back off. Which means that he really has to be patient when someone's in his face and pressuring him, and he doesn't have a really easy way to get them to go away. And it turns out, for the way I play, that's just a huge problem, and I'm sure I could adjust with it given enough time, but I found it really frustrating. And after a bunch of hours of playing Nash, I finally went, I think I have to switch characters. And that was the right call, because, like, sure, I was going to lose a lot of work that I did, but I still had learned a bunch about the game, and I could move into a new character with greater perspective, and I was going to have a better time.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Like, otherwise, you know, there wouldn't be any point in, like, playing anything until your DLC character is out. You know, like, people in just give an example, in Guilty Gear, since XR has been announced, people have been crying for Baikin, and it's been so obscene that people have basically gone, you know, Baikin or boycott. And they've only announced Baikin now. So with the latest DLC patch coming out. And those people that skipped out on the past 2 years are still going to find themselves at a disadvantage, even if their, like, favorite character is there, because you still have to learn all the other characters. You still have to learn all the basic handling. You still have to learn how everybody else plays and how you react to it, you know, basic systems of the game. And it's still gonna hamper you, and a lot of people will probably end up being disappointed. They'll probably go, I'm picking my favorite character, but all these other characters are just destroying me.
And it's, you know, it is fine. Like, in fighting games, like, unless you are going to a tournament to win money to pay your rent, your goal shouldn't be to play the strongest thing you can. Your goal should be to play what you enjoy the most. And if that means you're coming into the game late because it just didn't click with you until then, that's fine. You just need to be aware of how that's going to go.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's the most important part. If you can accept that things are probably not going to go the way you imagined them, or just they're not going to go well for starters, I think it'll be fine. It's you know, it's okay to get even upset. Like, I still sometimes get upset at fighting games, much less than I used to before. And it's okay to sometimes, you know, vent out or whatever, but you just have to accept, you know, I have to lose so I know how to win later. It's just how it goes. I've played so many fighting games. I have never picked up a fighting game where I was instantly good. I had some advantages because, you know, moves are similar, or character archetypes are similar, things like that. You obviously get an advantage. Like you said, skill carries over between fighting games, but I've never started playing a fighting game and was instantly good at it.
I mean, I had that happen to me with Dive Kick, but then they nerfed Seth's parry, and suddenly I was garbage again.
Yeah. That Dive Kick is an interesting one. Actually, now that you mentioned Dive Kick, which is, for a lot of people, a joke fighting game, I want to talk about another thing, which is when people call a fighting game dead.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of people call a fighting game dead, it's like, you know, the online community isn't as vibrant. And, you know, if you go online, you're not going to find random matches, stuff like that. I don't think that should necessarily factor in into your decision to play that game. Because usually, some cases might not just not be true. The people saying, you know, this game is dead, they say, I think they've said that for every fighting game ever released a month after release. Oh, this fighting game is dead. I've heard, like, Street Fighter people, same people were Street Fighter, like, oh, Street Fighter is dead, and I still find reliable matches. I think the only important thing is if you can find someone online who still plays that game, and a lot of these games have small communities, if you can find someone in your area to play with online, that might just be enough. You know, BlazBlue and Guilty Gear, there are a lot of online communities for those. There are a lot of online communities for games like Melty Blood or Under Night In Birth. Or also, if you just go on the Steam forums, maybe you can find people there. Just see if you can find someone to play with. And, you know, if you think the game is fun, just play it. You don't have to strive to get to this max tournament level. You should obviously strive to be, you know, better at the game, because I think that'll bring you greater enjoyment down the line. But I think a lot of people go into fighting games expecting that they'll get, you know, tournament level good. And that's not the... I don't think that's a healthy way to approach it.
No. And I mean, another thing to keep in mind when people talk about dead games, like... So there are some first-person shooters I used to play on computer that are now dead, right? Those communities are not sufficient to sustain games anymore. But that's like teams of 12v12.
Yeah.
Fighting games are 1v1. There are almost no games in the world where it is not possible by reaching out on the internet to find one other person who owns that game. It's really hard to kill a fighting game community.
Yeah, I mean, I've played online. I've played a Toho fighting game online with people. Like, I just found someone and we played a few matches for a few days and that was fun. And you can do that. You can do that super easily, especially now with Steam. You know, if you want, you can just find a friend and say, hey, I saw this fighting game you want us to buy, then we can play a few matches or whatever. And I played
some matches of Super Smash Flash 2 the other day.
Yeah.
Like, it's fighting games don't die like that. They quiet down. They get real tranquil, but they're not gone.
Yeah, because as you said, for 12v12 or 6v6 fighting FPS games, you need, like, to get a proper experience, you do need that team size. You need to be matched up with those many people. If you play Team Fortress on an empty server with just you and three more people, that's not going to be fun. That's just going to be messing around a bit. But you're not going to get to play the game as it was envisioned. Whereas for fighting games, you just need one person. You know, like, ask me if I want to play something with you, and I'll probably set aside one day to just play something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to sort of helping... What do we do next, Mio?
We should talk about if you are good at fighting games, how do you help your friends get into fighting games? Because there are a few things I've seen people get wrong very often. Just to give an example, let's say I have played BlazBlue for X amount of years, and then I get my friend who has never played BlazBlue, and I say, hey, you want to play BlazBlue? Sure. The wrong thing to do is for me to pick my main and do all my main character, and do all my setups, all my combos, my entire game plan, full, and just destroy him. Because he's not going to understand what happened. And it'll almost look like bullying, in a way. So one thing you have to do is kind of lower down your level. You know, give people space to get familiar with a game. Get familiar with the controls. You know, don't just stand there and take a fight. You know, go towards them and give them a punch in the face or something like that. Or pick a character you're also not familiar with. and just offer them an experience where they can slowly overtake you, and don't worry about how you come across. You know, if say I pick my main character and I intentionally play worse and I lose, and my friend goes, "Oh, you've played this game for X amount of time and I won, I'm happy." Let them have it. You're not really going to get anything out of proving your point that you're better, because they probably do know that you're better, but you just have to give them some space to make mistakes and be like really transparent, you know, with what they're doing wrong. Like, keep one of the ways, for example, you know, keep hitting them low until they figure out, oh, maybe I can block low for this. You know, let them ease into it.
Yeah, and so in general, like, the concept of fighting not to your full potential in a fighting game is usually referred to as sandbagging. And I am pretty bad at sandbagging, which is fortunate because I'm not very good, so I don't need to very often. But, like, the little tricks you learn, and also the reasons to do it. Like, the tricks you learn are things like, as you said, switch to a different character, or, like, work on a part of your game that you don't usually work on, right? Like, an example would be, in Super Smash Bros. Melee, I play as Sheik, mostly. And Sheik has an alternate form, who you may know as Princess Zelda. And Zelda is bad. Zelda's not good in that game. But, like, okay, I'm playing against a person who doesn't play this game very much. It's time to practice my Zelda, right? I'm not fucking around, but I am playing in a way that is worse. And it will make things easier for them. Or you could be like, I never use this type of mix-up, or I don't really know how to use my, like, my medium-strength pokes very well, and you practice those parts of your game. So you're even improving yourself while also dumbing yourself down.
Yeah. Another good trick, now that you mentioned Smash, some games do have handicap-friendly features. For example, in Smash, those are obviously items, and, you know, certain stages aren't really tournament friendly. I think it's okay to let new people play with those kind of settings. Guilty Gear for local play, it has like to give it gives lets you give a character more health, things like that. I would advise against stylish modes, which is basically it rearranges your commands so that you get things out by mashing. For example, if you have you know, ABC, which are punch, kick, weapon, a stylish move would say A isn't punch, A is this special move, B is this combo, which you just mash and it happens, and C is the super if you mash it. I advise against that because people won't understand what they're doing, and I don't think like they'll improve that way. The only game I've ever played with a shortcut mode that was nice to get into was Killer Instinct, the new one. But in general, a lot of games have these handicap modes. Tekken since forever has had, you know, set more health to a character. You can do that as well. You can play with infinite timer. You know, give people a way to not try and rush you, but actually give you time. And eventually, they'll grow bored of it, I think. You know, people didn't drop items in Smash because someone just decided, oh, this isn't fair. They dropped items because they didn't think it was interesting. Like, they felt it hampered the experience in tournaments or in just competitive play. And I feel that anyone who plays Smash enough will eventually get to the point where they'll say, yeah, I don't really want to play with items. Let's just try it raw. Same as with the fighting games. Like, for fighting games, for the longest time, I played with an infinite timer. Until I learned situations in which a timer is actually beneficial to you. And then I found it more interesting to play under time pressure because certain characters benefited from it. So I think you can give people these handicaps and eventually they'll overcome them by themselves.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I played Smash Brothers Melee back when it came out with a very close friend of mine. And we didn't read, like, Smash Bros. Forum boards or anything. We settled upon no items just on our own independent invention because it's just sort of a logical extension of how the game plays one-on-one.
Yeah.
And the other thing to keep in mind as far as sort of setting things up for your friends so that you're lowering your level of play and dumbing yourself down to change the matches is the question of motive. Why would you do that, right? Some people will say, like, well, that's patronizing. I'm not giving them my all. That's insulting. And it's like, well, I don't entirely, like, I don't think you're completely wrong there. Like, sure, you're not giving them your all. But the question is, what is the point of giving them your all? Not because they don't deserve it, but because what are they getting out of it? Ideally, if you're introducing someone to a fighting game, it's because you want them to see what you see in it, how, like, good matches can be fun, and how learning can be fun, and how you can grow and evolve. And if you are crushing someone, they don't get any of that. You don't learn anything when you just get, like, overheaded every moment you stand up and you don't even know what's happening. You don't learn anything sitting there watching someone do a combo and being like, wow, they really know their timings. That doesn't teach the new person anything, and they feel none of the passion and none of the fun that can come out of the game. You dumb yourself down so that they have room to discover what is good.
Yeah, and then if they end up liking it, they'll eventually get good enough that they will actually give you a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
One also thing I'd say, if you're trying to get someone into fighting games and it's not with an offline friend, you're playing with an online person, if you are able to, do use voice communication, because that helps a lot. Not just by telling people, hey, you can do this move to avoid this. It's not just because of that, but because it's very easy to perceive, even when you play people that you know. If you don't hear their voice, it doesn't feel like you're kind of playing. There's this disconnect, and it kind of feels some things can be interpreted differently. For example, I accidentally did a super move on a friend who just started playing out, and that was because I misinputted things. And I would have told him, oh, whoops, sorry, I didn't mean to do this. Or in general, we just have banter, and I wouldn't see any character choices or whatever as malicious. Like, for example, I was playing Guilty Gear with a friend, and I said, hey, can you pick, you know, something that's not your main character? I want to learn a new character. And he was, okay, sure. And I just told him via text chat. And after a while, he picked Raven to fight against me, which is a character I completely didn't know how to play against. I got steamrolled. And for a moment, it almost felt like he was just basically having a joyride with me. But I know it wasn't that case, because I know I've known him from a while, but it still felt like that for a moment. Whereas if we had voice communication, the entire feeling of it would have been different.
Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, even another, like, just sort of simple, innocent example. Me and Mio Drag play BlazBlue Central Fiction every now and then these days. And we, after the first, like, session or two, we decided to start doing voice. And, like, Mio Drag's better than me at BlazBlue, and that's fine. But occasionally I have a match where I'm doing okay, and also occasionally I accidentally hit taunt instead of the button I want. And if it's a no-mic situation, that seems kind of cocky and shitty, but if you've got me on mic, trust me, you're going to hear me panic when I hit the wrong button. And it's like, oh, okay, he screwed up. This isn't an insult. We're fine.
Yeah, especially because I get really upset when people taunt me in the game. But I get upset in a good way, because recently I had a Ryu mirror match on Street Fighter V, and the guy destroyed me the first set, and before he, like, defeated me in the first match, he taunted me. And because Street Fighter has this very nice mechanic, which is best 2 out of 3 in ranked, I got so upset with him that I managed to beat him in the end. So that was kind of like negative reinforcement, but I still got upset. And if I played with Colin, I'd probably still get upset if I saw taunts after, I don't know, he does a super move and then he taunts me, and I'm like, oh, really, that's how you're gonna play it, Colin? Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't be above it, but you know.
Yeah.
It just
gives you better communication if you can do voice chat. That's just my, if you're able to. Of course, a lot of these things we're saying are not probably going to apply to a lot of people. I mean, we're saying find someone offline that wants to get into the game at the same time as you, or find someone online, or do voice chat. A lot of these things we know that people aren't always able to do. And that's very crappy. And this is just, we're trying to go with some like best case and compromise scenarios.
Yeah. I mean, I have, in my life, I have literally once fought someone offline in a fighting game who also knew what they were doing. It was at a convention. They mopped the fucking floor with me.
Yeah.
I play almost exclusively online just because of where I live. And that's fine. I still love this genre and I still have a great time.
I mean, I spent 27 years in Serbia, which had a very, very tiny fighting game community. I think the Blaze Blue community was me and two more friends. We were the Blaze Blue community. Everybody else was kind of in and out of it, depending on interest.
Actually, have I told that story? I'll tell the very short version, which is that I was playing Smash Brothers at a gaming convention, and there was a guy there who was just kicking everyone's asses. And then there was a moment where I clicked, and I was like, oh, you're that pro player who's hosting a panel later. That makes sense. It was amazing.
Going to tournaments in general is always a good experience. I only ever went to one tournament, in like big tournament in Frankfurt. That was very good. I lost very decisively, but even the casual matches with people there, I learned more on that one weekend than I did like several months before that. It's a very good experience, and we'll talk about that some other time too, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, I think that wraps it up. Would you like to cover anything else before we go?
I mean, I guess maybe I would like to briefly just sort of talk about a few fighting games that we would recommend for people who are getting into it. So some of these are going to be older games, in which case, you know, if you know people that you can do it with, then that is the recommendation, and some of them are going to be newer, and it will be easier to find a community. I'll do the first one. If you can find someone to play with, Grow Mark of the Wolves is a fantastic game that is easy to get into and kind of actively de-emphasizes combos and overly technical play in a way that's really, really great and really friendly.
Yes, it's a very neutral-focused game, title drop there. But that's one of the games one of my friends who doesn't play too many fighting games got into just because we decided to play it at work. And you can get Garo on PlayStation 4 and PC, and even on GGPO or Fightcade. I'm not sure which one is the current.
I know it's on Fightcade. I'm not going to encourage any form of piracy on this podcast, but Fightcade is very cool. I will warn people that the netcode on the PlayStation 4 version of Garo is very poor.
Yeah. And yeah, if you can find people, that's a very good starting point game. My recommendation for a game to play as a beginner, oh god. Until I started playing Street Fighter V, I recommended Street Fighter V to people. I'm not sure I would right now. Because as simple as Street Fighter is, it is very, very demanding of your execution timing, which I've found. And it's sometimes very poor at communicating how normal moves come out. I still have a very big problem of telling apart which move is hitting where or at which intensity. I'd say there are very few fighting games you can go wrong with. If you like 3D fighting games, Tekken is pretty beginner friendly. I'm not a big fan of Tekken, but like Tekken, Dead or Alive, they are very beginner-friendly. I'd say a 3D fighting game is fine. If you don't like 3D fighting games or don't like the aesthetic of Dead or Alive, for which I don't blame you, I can't recommend Guilty Gear. I'd love to recommend Guilty Gear, but it's very demanding, especially if you go to play online. It has a lot of things to help you get into fighting games. It has a very good tutorial. It has a very detailed FAQ. It has very good training modes. So if you want to get for the single player portion of it, the things that lets you learn about fighting games in general, for that it's very good.
Yeah, I would say the same thing about Blaze Blue. I think it has a lot of the tools to get you into it, but there are so many systems in both Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear that maybe it's a better recommend for sort of intermediate players who are familiar with the genre and kind of want to get into a new thing.
Basically, you're looking for something that has very few screen clutter and bars, and that's why I'm kind of recommending Tekken and Dead or Alive in particular, because they are single bar games, and it's very easy to wrap your head around them. Tekken, maybe particularly, because Dead or Alive has the parry system, which is a bit not beginner friendly. So I'd say Tekken is kind of like the ideal one, where every button has a very nice visual feedback, the inputs aren't too difficult, and it can get technical the better you get at it.
Yeah. And I guess my last recommendation would actually be Street Fighter 3 Third Strike Online, which still has an active enough community that you can find people. That game, it is a two-bar game. You've got health and super. And it does have like a really high level of possible execution, but it feels almost nucleic, right? It feels like there is just a core of what I like about fighting games in there, where it is about intentionality and spacing and precision and knowledge and execution. And there aren't a lot of gimmicks in that game.
Yeah.
It can be, it has some, you know, base level knowledge to get in. It takes a little work to get into it, but it just rewards pure fighting game skill and knowledge without any distractions from that.
Yeah, and then after you've gotten really into one fighting game, it's very easy to transition between games, and there's really no shame in doing so. I know there's a lot of rivalry, the unhealthy kind, between fighting game communities, like, the dirty anime fighters and the dumb 3D fighters and the boring street fighters and stuff like that, but
yeah,
don't worry about that. Play really what you enjoy. Don't worry about peer pressure or anything like that.
Yeah. I don't know, I think that does it for us, right?
Yeah, I think we're done here. If you enjoyed the show, do leave us a comment. We don't know how often we'll do this, but if people like it, we'll do it more often than not.
Yeah, if you have any particular feedback, you can find me on Twitter at 6264, that's written out as words. You send me any tweets there about the show or, you know, about fighting game stuff in general, I will certainly see it. I will try to respond if I can.
Yeah, and you can find me on Twitter at MDKII or MDKRoman2, whichever you prefer.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
See ya.
We'll see you next time.